Good morning. As you can clearly see, I am not Pastor Tom. My name is Ben Simpson. I'm the pastor out at the South Campus. It's an absolute privilege to be here with you to preach on this Sunday. I finally caught my breath. You know, you start preaching at 8:45, then you preach again at 9:30, and I finally here just kind of caught my breath. And so just praying that the Lord will bless once again on this Sunday. Pastor Tom told me to tell you all that he is excited to be back with you all on Wednesday for the groundbreaking service out at the South Campus. The new site in Alvaton, and as Pastor Greg said, that'll start at 6 p.m. There won't be any services here at the East Campus. We'll all be out at the South Campus in the field, okay? So that means that if you want to drive and park on the field, you're perfectly welcome to. You might want a truck if you're going to do that, okay? Otherwise, there's going to be a shuttle bus coming from Alvaton Elementary starting at 5:30. You can just hop in the shuttle bus, and they'll drive you over to the site. It'll take 20 to 30 minutes there, and then we're going to go out and have dinner together, all right? Both Logan's and Freddy's on the Scottsville Road has agreed to give 15% of their proceeds that night to Alvaton Elementary School's PTA, and then also to Plano Elementary's PTA. So we're trying to figure out a way to work all this out where we can enjoy that night together as a family, and just again to sort of just another step in the dream that God gave this congregation. Amen. Are y'all excited to see just another step? They're going to break ground the next day, possibly. Okay, after that service. But we're going to go out to dinner together. If you want to go to dinner before the groundbreaking, they'll start receiving us at 4 p.m. Just tell them when you go in, hi, we're from Eastwood, so you can eat before or you can eat after. Tell them you're from Eastwood, and they'll be glad to have you. But Pastor Tom said he's looking forward to seeing every one of you there. I hope you brought your copy of God's Word this morning. If you would, stand with me to turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, is where we'll be in this morning. I'll be preaching from Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be in the first three verses, Ephesians 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. God's holy word says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this text. God, I pray that as we come to it, that we would recognize this for what it is, that this is the authoritative, perfect word of God, that it's relevant in 2014 as it ever has been, perfectly relevant to our life. And God, I pray that we would conform our life around you, particularly, Lord, as you address children here. Father, I pray that they would see the word, and they would heed the word of God, so that they might find the promise that you have promised them, Lord. Father, if there's one here this morning who is apart from Jesus Christ, we pray that through the preaching of your word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the witness of this gathered congregation here today, that person would see their need for Jesus and this very hour would surrender to the Lord Jesus so that they might be forgiven and saved. Father, we love you. We praise you for the privilege to gather together in the name of your Son. And all God's people said, amen. Some of you probably remember a show that aired in the late 70s, early 80s called Fantasy Island. How many of y'all remember that? Yeah, okay, a lot of you remember that. Guests would pay an incredible amount of money to come fly out to this mysterious, exotic Pacific island owned by this mysterious guy, Mr. Rourke, and they would come in, and he would do everything in his power to make all of their fantasies come true. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I don't remember the show watching it. I mean, in those days, I was kind of watching Sesame Street instead, okay? But nevertheless, They've made parodies and they've made references to it a million times over the years, to the point that show, at least a portion of that show, has sort of become like a pop icon. One of the reasons it's become famous is just one little person and one little phrase. That little character's name was Tattoo. Y'all remember Tattoo? He was the butler. His job was to stand in the watchtower and watch for when the plane carrying the guests would be coming in. He would watch for the plane, and this always happened at the beginning of the show. And when he saw the plane, he would famously do this. DePlane! DePlane! Y'all remember that? He'd ring the bell, and then everybody would look up, see the plane, and then they would jump into action. All right? It's crazy sometimes how preachers' minds work. Y'all don't have to amen that, by the way. But as I was reading that passage, as I was reading our passage here in Ephesians chapter 6, I kept saying, the promise, the promise. And for some reason, Tattoo came to my mind saying, DePlane, DePlane. And so I say to you guys, in the spirit of Tattoo, the promise, fix your eyes on the promise so that then you can jump in to action. God here in this passage, he's about to lay down a commandment. And I'm just going to testify that it's a commandment that my flesh has not liked. Okay? You might be here this morning and the commandment that I'm about to read, you just read it, you just heard it, and even as I said it, your flesh kind of welled up with a little rebellion in you. Our flesh does not like this commandment. But don't miss what it says in the text. This commandment is a commandment with a promise. It's a commandment with a promise. I don't know about you, but my obedience is helped when there's a reward attached to it, right? I mean, obedience for obedience' sake, I mean, that's okay, but it's hard, right? It's harder. It's harder if it's just for obedience's sake. That's why God in his grace, all throughout the scripture, time and time again, he puts rewards in front of us, doesn't he? Do this, and you'll get this, right? Do this, and the promise will be yours. It's sort of like the carrot in front of the horse. It's sort of like the rabbit in front of the dog. It's sort of like an ice cream cone in front of a kid, right? It just brings them, it draws them. They can't help themselves but run after it so that they might get the reward. God unashamedly says, do this, and this reward, this promise will be yours. So fix your eyes on the promise. That's why I've entitled today's message, The Promise, Child. The Promise, Child. And the point I want to share with you this morning is simply this. Live for the promise, child, found through obedience. Live for the promise, child, found through obedience. And when we turn to our text here, we see four truths that give us a foundation to live for this promise that is found through obedience. The first truth that we see here is simply that God has commanded children to obey. We can't overlook that. I mean, it's absolutely just black and white. Straightforward, as straightforward as it gets. But isn't that true of God's commandments? God's commandments, they're not hard to understand. God's commandments are not hard to comprehend and all the things to read and to make sense of. What's hard is doing them, right? That's where the hardness comes in. And so don't forget the context that's found here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is just one thing in line of other commandments that begin with the commandment in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at that in your text, in your Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 18. You and I are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's in light of that, it's in context of that, that God then commands wives to be submissive to their husbands and husbands to sacrifice for their wives and for, here in a moment, after the children passage, for workers to obey their bosses. And then finally, as we're going to talk about today, for children to obey their parents. So don't miss that this command is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Children are called to obey through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the word that's translated as children here is not just little tykes, not just the rugrats, right? It's all offspring, okay? So we'll talk about this as we carry this out, but in a sense, this is a commandment for every one of us, even if we are not children in the strict sense of the word. We're adults, but in a sense, it's all offspring. We all have a mama and a daddy. It just, we'll talk about this, but it sort of changes as you grow older, of course, how you relate in this. And so it includes babies, it includes toddlers, it includes preschoolers, it includes children, it includes what they call tweens nowadays. It involves teens. God is talking primarily here in this passage to every person who is still in their parents' home and under the authority of their parents, or I guess I should say, should be under the authority of their parents. So if that's you, don't be shy. Last service, they were shy. I don't know if they thought I was going to throw something at them. But if that's you this morning, would you just lift up your hand this morning? If you are still under your parents' roof and you should be under your parents' authority, in other words, you're a teenager and under, would you just lift up your hand? All right. Okay. All right. Great. Let me just say directly to you all, now that I have your attention, God has called you to obey your parents. Parents, can I get an amen on that? God says to obey your parents. In fact, God believes it's so important that he included it in his Ten Commandments. You think about, of all the things that God could have listed in his top ten, the most foundational commandments for society, he included this one. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. This commandment is the fifth in all of the commandments, in all ten, but it's the first commandment that has to deal with human-to-human relationships. So it takes priority, right? I mean, God's saying this is important. This is how important it is. It's the first commandment that deals with how you and I as humans relate to one another. And it's also the only commandment in the Ten Commandments that God uses to address the family, all right? So what does that tell us about this commandment? It tells us that if parents and children get this right, then everything else is going to fall into place. God didn't have to say more because that took care of it. And can I just say, not only the home, but also society in general would be so much better. That scared me. I don't know about y'all, but it scared me. Yes, Lord. Y'all better watch out. Oh, me. So, to God, obedience to parents is of utmost importance. It's so important, guys. Think about this with me. In Romans chapter 1, verse 30, we see disobedience to parents as being categorized as coming out of a debased mind, that God has given those who are continuously disobedient to parents, it's a manifestation, an outworking of a debased mind, that God has given people over to their sinfulness. God, in the same breath as he mentions disobedient to parents, he also mentions murderers. He also mentions haters of God. So what does that tell? That tells us that God sees this as very, very serious. He desires for children to be obedient, and disobedience is hated by God. In fact, he's dead serious about it. He's dead serious about it. You know, you look at the text here, and one of the things that we see in the text is that, particularly in the Old Testament, is that God commanded parents who had consistently, continuously disobedient children, he commanded them to have the city stone them to death. That's why Pastor Tom had his sermon entitled, How to Live to See Adulthood, right? Maybe your parents said this to you one time, right? I brought you into the world and I can take you out. How many of y'all heard that? They were speaking scripture. I mean, they weren't just making that up. They were preaching Bible to you. How many of y'all are glad you grew up in the day of the new covenant instead of the old covenant? Amen. Absolutely, absolutely. But all joking aside, God takes this very seriously. You see, young person, when you continuously disobey your parents, please hear me. This is how serious it is. You deserve death. Praise God for the grace of God. Because I would have been dead a long time ago. Absolutely would have been. I would have never lived to see adulthood. So you're to obey your parents. Why is that? Yes, you're to obey because there's a promise here for you. But as verse 1 points to us, it's simply the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And then Colossians 3:20, which is like a parallel passage to this one. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for it is pleasing to the Lord." For it pleases the Lord. How many of you who raised your hand a minute ago who were teenager and under, how many of you guys want to make God happy? Do you want to make God happy? Then obey your parents. Obey your parents. That pleases the Lord. But children, young folks, I want to point to you just a very important but a small phrase right here. Look at verse 1 again in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Notice that three-word phrase there, "in the Lord." You see, parents are supposed to lead you in a way that pleases Jesus. So to obey them is to obey Jesus. But the truth of the matter is that we live in a fallen world, don't we? And there are times when parents don't lead their children in a way that pleases Jesus. God says here in this passage, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And so listen to me, young folks. That means that sometimes a parent might command you to sin. A parent might command you to tell a lie. A parent might command you to steal something. A parent might command you to do something with your body that is immoral. A parent might command you to hurt somebody else. And God says here that you are to obey the Lord, right? Not mom and dad. When the two conflict, God says don't do that, and a parent says do that, who should you listen to? The Lord. Right here is the only situation, guys, where God gives you the opportunity to disobey your parents. And I pray for everybody gathered under the sound of my voice, and even those who will listen to this on the internet later on, I pray that you never have to make that choice. Do I follow the Lord, or do I follow my mom and dad? But I also pray that if that ever happens, that you make the right choice and you follow the Lord. God says, obey your parents in the Lord. And so you're perfectly free to disobey your parents if they call you to sin. If they call you to sin. But that's rare. So as long as you're not being commanded to sin, children, what should you do? Obey your parents. There's a promise ahead of you, right? The promise. The promise. Let's look at the second truth in this text that will help us live for the promise found through obedience. It's this. Parents must work to train their child to obey. Parents must work to train their child to obey. Now, this isn't explicitly in the text. It's kind of in verse 4 there. If you read on the next one, "Father, raise up your children. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So I'm not going to belabor this point because Pastor Tom preached Ephesians 6:4 just 2 weeks ago. And that same Sunday, I preached Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And so if you're looking for information, like, you know, how can I train my children up? How do I train them to be obedient? Then I would point you to eastwoodbc.org. And you can listen to those messages there to get some more information. So I'm not going to belabor the point that parents must work to train their children. But let me just remind you that children aren't naturally obedient, right? Yeah, I ain't telling you anything you don't already know. You just live long enough around a kid, and you're going to see that they don't naturally do what you tell them to do. They must be trained. And yes, this is hard, hard work on the part of the parents. We hear things today like, "Oh, kids these days. You know what we should be saying? Oh, parents these days, right? Especially you who are teachers in our schools. Hey, can we give our teachers a round of applause? Man, they're so often stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, they don't have anybody to stand with them to try to help a kid mind them. But we see, just especially in those situations, that it goes back so often to the parents. So many parents today just don't want to put in the work. So they let their kids get away with disobedience. Or maybe they just let them get away with partial obedience. What's partial obedience? It's like this. Son, go mow the yard. And so son gets up. You hear the mower start up. And you're sitting in your easy chair, laid back, sipping some sweet tea, praising the Lord that he gave you a son to go do some work you didn't really want to do today. And so a little while later, the mower stops and the son walks in. He says, Dad, I know you told me to mow the whole yard, but I just didn't really feel like doing the backyard today. I got the entire front yard done, though. I'm going to go down to Bobby's and we're going to play Xbox. I'll catch you later, Dad. Thanks. And some parents might say, well, at least he mowed the front yard, right? No, partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. It's like King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God told King Saul to completely eradicate everything in the Amalekite city. All of the Amalekites, all of their property, all of their cattle, everything, there was to be nothing left. That's what God called King Saul to do. But what did King Saul do? He partially obeyed. He put to the sword all of the Amalekite people except for the king. And he put to the sword all of the livestock of the Amalekite people except for the choice animals that he thought would be great to add to his herd. That was partial obedience. And what did it cost King Saul? At that very moment, God said, I regret making Saul king over Israel. In other words, it cost him his crown. It cost him his crown. So we can't let our children get by with partial obedience, because partial obedience is disobedience, but so also is delayed obedience. Delayed obedience goes like this. Son, go mow the yard. And you're in your easy chair waiting to hear the mower go. And about 6 hours later it happens, okay? That's delayed obedience. And some parents might say, well, at least he finally got around to it. But delayed obedience is disobedience. Guys, that's why it's so important for us to use methods of parenting based upon biblical insight. One of the books that was really popular about a decade ago, and it might still be popular, every one of you parents might have this in your library at home. It was a book called 1-2-3 Magic. And maybe you've never read the book, but I bet that you've heard a parent do this before. Come here, son. I'm going to count to three. One. I'm serious. Two. Three. Right? I mean, that's sort of how 1-2-3 Magic goes. But think about that. What is that teaching our children? You can delay obeying me until I get to three. And it's almost never 1-2-3, is it? It's usually like one. I really mean it. Two. All right, 2.5. I'm coming. I'm about 2.5 3/4. I'm serious. 2.5 4/5. Here we go. All right, three. You know, we just keep dragging it out. And we just let the children just continue to delay obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You might be saying, oh, preacher, come on, what's the big idea? Church, listen to me carefully. You are laying a foundation for your children. That's what the big deal is, right? And that foundation, if it's not laid properly, then you're going to cause your children difficulty later in life. Oh, preacher, what's the big deal? The big deal is that one day they need to heed your voice as soon as you say it, because life and death hangs in the balance. You've got a child heading toward the highway, and you say, stop, don't take another step. They need to be able to obey you immediately. You got to train them, because sometimes life and death will hang in the balance. But most importantly, someday God will call that baby to obey Him. God will call them. How many of y'all realize that you're just a steward for God of that child, right? He's giving you the opportunity to raise them up that one day they might live for Him and love Him and follow Him and obey Him. That's why it's so important for us to train our children to be obedient. I don't know anybody that wants their child to partially obey God. I don't know anybody who wants their child to delay their obedience to God. No. We want them to listen the first time and to obey fully. That's why parents must work to train their child to obey. Let's look at the third truth. As we live for the promise found in Christ Jesus through obedience, the promise found through obedience, the third truth is this: blessing is the promised result of obedience. Remember, the promise. God, through Paul, tells children in Ephesians 6:1 to obey their parents. And then he quotes an Old Testament passage here. To be more specific, he quotes the Ten Commandments. He quotes Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Paul throws in there, in the middle of quoting that commandment, that this is the first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? I'm summing it up here with the word blessing. But as we look here at the text, there's actually two aspects to the blessing. One is a quality of life, that it may go well with you, Paul says. And the other aspect is a quantity of life, that you may live long. How many of you young folks here that raised your hand earlier, how many of y'all want to live a good life? Yep, come on. How many of y'all want to live a long life, right? Then obey your parents. I've never met anybody that said, man, I hope my life is a disaster and then I die when I'm young. Nobody says that. They want to live long. They want to live a good life. And if you want to do that, then you obey your parents. How many of you parents want to see your children have a long and happy life, a long and blessed life? Then work to train your children to obey, because obedience leads to the promise of blessing. And it's a blessing that will follow them all the days of their life. And the final truth here in our text that will help us live for the promise found through obedience is obedience to parents will someday cease, but honoring parents continues until the day you die. Let me say that again. Obedience to parents will someday cease, but honoring parents continues until the day you die. Parents, your child will not always be a child. He's going to grow up. She's going to grow up, Lord willing, to adulthood. Young folks, you will not always be a young folk. One day you will be an older folk, and then someday you'll be, well, we're not going to go any further than that, all right? You're going to grow up. You're going to get your own house. You're going to get your own family, Lord willing. You're going to have a job, and you're going to make decisions for yourself, and you will no longer be under the authority of your parents. And at that point, obedience to parents ceases. And now you turn more to the honoring phase of what God is calling us to do here. Parents, we have to realize at this point, your commands to your offspring, they're no longer children, they're grown adults. Your commands are now advice. Used to, you said do, and they were supposed to do. But now you say do, and it's no longer a commandment, really. It's advice. And it might be good advice that they would be wise to heed, but they will make the decision. They're grown, right? A functional family, a good, healthy family realizes these boundaries. And they work within that fashion. A grown man or woman that always obeys mom and dad whenever mom says jump and dad says do and all that stuff, that is a dysfunctional family. Because now parents, when children move out and grow up and get a new family, guess what? You are now extended family. You're no longer nuclear family. There's been a new family established there. And so your commandment now becomes advice. But although obedience to parents will someday cease, honoring parents continues until the day you die. Now notice how I said that. I didn't say that we honor parents until the day they die. We honor parents until the day we die, right? Until you die. Some of you here today, your parents may be long past, but you're still commanded upon the authority of Scripture to honor them. Now, how do you do that? Well, if they're living, you do it in three ways. You do it through speech, you do it through time, and you do it through actions. Speech, time, and actions. With speech, you tell them, Mom and Dad, thank you. I mean, you really blessed me in my life. You provided for me. You did things. You made sure that I had stuff. You always protected me and made sure that I got an education and I was raised right and all those things. And you don't just do it on Mother's Day and Father's Day. You do it at every opportunity. Call them out of the blue. Call your parents. I pray that this week, I know Father's Day was just last Sunday, but I pray that you take the opportunity even this week and call your mom or dad and say, thank you. You have blessed my life. But that also means that you tell others what they've done. You brag on mom and dad. How many of y'all love to brag on your parents about what they've done for you? Guys, that's one of the ways that you honor them. People will see that you esteem them in your life. So speech, but how about through time? Right? Spending time, cutting time out of your life to spend with your parents. That means a lot to them. Sometimes that's all they want. They would just love for you to come by and see them. Just come by, spend a while. Don't be in such a hurry. Sit down, talk, spend time with them. That's one of the ways that you honor them. And third, by actions. You do things for them, especially as they become elderly. Right? You take the opportunity to make sure they're cared for. And that might not mean that they live in your home with you, although that would be great if that's possible. But it certainly means that you make sure that they have nursing facilities and things like that taken care of and that you're there with them, making sure they're getting everything they need to have a quality of life. You do things for mom and dad. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that, it says this, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In other words, we must, if we are godly people, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, take care of our parents as they grew older. They certainly took care of you, didn't they? And now it's your turn. And some of you are in that phase of life right now where you're in that awkward situation of where children are having to take care of you, and it's hard to sort of let go of some of that. But remember, God's glory is wrapped up in that. Some of you are in that tough situation now where you're beginning to have to take care of parents. God bless you. Continue to do it. Honor them. Sacrifice for them as they sacrificed for you. How about if your parents have already passed? How do you honor them in death? You do that, one, by living a life that would please them, right? That you believe that mom or dad would say, great job. Way to do it. I'm so proud of you. Two is that you go and you decorate, you honor them, their grave, as an act of remembrance. That's a great way to honor them in their death. But finally is by just telling their story. Telling their story, that's one of the ways that you do that. You know, my mom and dad are here with me right now, and so they're still living. I get a chance to honor them whenever I get just in my day in, day out life. But my dad's mom, Granny Jean, she was really close. I was really close to her. I grew up right next door to her, and she was just a blessing to me. But one of the ways that I honor her, she died in 1998. One of the ways that I honor her is from time to time to set my children down and tell them all about her. tell about how she liked to shoot squirrels, how she liked to go fishing, how she'd rather be in the woods than anywhere else in the world. She loved to be outdoors and do those sorts of things, and she loved us. My brother Matt, who's here today as well, I mean, that was just the kind of grandmother she was. I had a granny with a gun, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah! Just tell her story. Tell her story. Hey, burglars didn't try to get in. I'm serious. She would have capped him in a second. Just tell their story. That's one of the ways that you honor them in death. So today, live for the promise, child, that's found through obedience. Remember that God has commanded children to obey. Parents must work to train their child to obey. Blessing is the promised result of obedience. And obedience to parents will someday cease, but honoring parents continues until the day you die. Children, obey your parents. But I stand before you today as a disobedient former child. Right? I don't need my mom to stand up and testify at this point, okay? Just let me tell you, I'm not going to recount all the things, all right? Some of the things she might not even know about, okay? So it's not testimony time here, but I'm just telling you that I am a disobedient former child. But you know what? That's who I'm preaching to as well. Disobedient former children and disobedient current children. So what does that mean? That means that I need to point you and me, the sinner, to the one who is never disobedient. Amen? And what was his name? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived approximately 33 and a half years. That equals about 1 billion seconds on the earth. In every second, the average human being's brain, and remember that Jesus was fully God and fully man, he had a brain just like we do. The average human being's brain has 100 billion neurons all firing around 200 times per second, giving a capacity of 20,000 billion firings per second going on in your brain. Man, ain't that amazing? That is amazing. And so if we want to know how many conscious decisions Jesus made to obey his Father's will, what do? You multiply 20,000 billion by 1 billion. Any math majors here? Right? You ain't looking at one, okay? So I'm not even going to try to calculate that. I couldn't even pronounce it. I did good to get 20,000 billion, okay? I'm not going to go any higher. But just let me say this. It is an astronomical number. And Jesus Christ, in every split second, was obedient to the Father. He always did the right thing. He always did it for the right reason. And friends, Jesus wasn't obedient so that we don't have to be. He was obedient so that we would be forgiven when we're disobedient. Praise Jesus. Amen. In your disobedience, look to Jesus, who was always obedient. And so I invite you today, if you've never turn to Christ. You stand before God, a disobedient child. You stand before God needing forgiveness. You stand before God condemned based upon what you have done. But God has sent Jesus Christ to draw everyone who will come to Christ. Every person who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be forgiven. Your disobedience will be marked out, and Jesus' obedience will be inserted. I invite you this very hour to come to Christ. Come to Christ. Here's my prayer for us as we close. May it go well with you, child, as you live for the promise found through obedience. Would you stand with me as we pray this morning? Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we give you this time. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching this morning. God, we ask that the word would not fall on deaf ears, that it would not fall on hard hearts. For the young person here who is in rebellion, they're struggling in obeying their parents, God, I pray that they would get their eyes off of the situation and on the promise that is there so that they can be motivated, God, to do what you've called them to do. that they would lean on the Holy Spirit and His power to be obedient. Father, I pray for the one here this morning, the parent who's struggling with a child who is rebellious. Father, would you give them patience? Would you give them strength? But above all, God, would you give them wisdom in how to train their child to obey? Father, it's never too late. And I pray that there would be just an intervention in that family, Lord. God, I pray for the one this morning who is apart from you. They are a disobedient child. They have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But this very hour, God, you're offering grace and mercy that if they'll only take the hand of Jesus in faith and love, in repentance, God, they will be forgiven. Father, would you work right now in this hour as we sing this hymn? I pray the people of God would move as the Holy Spirit calls them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.